Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
So today we finish this four-part series, and we've been looking at the things Jesus didn't say. Now, why? Because in the midst of those things that we know Jesus said, sometimes we lose the power, we lose the wonder, the weight of what's actually said. So when we begin to look at what he didn't say or what he could have said, it adds, I think, strength to what Jesus did say. So we are ending this series, and next week we're going to start a new series called Predicting the Future. The whole idea is that we often, there's a disconnect between where we want to end up in life and the paths that we choose. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. But today, I have a question. How many of you have ever felt guilty? Yeah, it should be all of us, right? You know, I often feel guilty. You know, I'm sure, depending on the day and situation. So today what I want to do is to talk about what Jesus didn't say about guilt and sin. Because we all battle that sense of guilt. We either did wrong or didn't do something we should have done, or said something we shouldn't have, or we didn't say when we should have. You know, there was a study that came out the other day that said there's food guilt. That 30% of what we eat, we tend to feel guilty about it for at least 20 minutes. You know, and then there's Christian guilt. You know, I don't pray enough. I don't read my Bible enough, or I started to read it and then I stopped. Then there's mom guilt. Some of us can't connect with that, but I mean, it still applies. You know, that sense of whether you worked and you didn't have time with your kids, or the guilt that you did have time and you should have worked to contribute to where the family was going. I mean, we all carry that. You know, and then there's just general guilt. You know, I let people down. I have a hard time saying no. I feel guilty for saying yes. You know, I work too hard. Didn't take enough time off. Maybe it's the language that we use. Maybe it's a friend that we betrayed. You know, as a pastor, I feel what I would call pastor's guilt, or at least those that work in the church, you know, because it's hard to live up to some of the standards that I hear God speak on my heart to share with you. There's just the opening piece of it is, if I'm doing what I should do in the church, then I'm probably not doing what I need to do at home as a father or as a husband or a friend. Or it's the other way around. What do we do? What does Jesus have to say? And what didn't he say? Well, Luke 23, that first text that Herb read to us, described the last hour of Jesus' life. And there's a contrast that is already happening right there. Because another way of phrasing this question of guilt is, you get what you deserve. Well, let's look at Jesus. So instead of wearing a golden crown, in this text, he's wearing a crown of thorns. Instead of being surrounded by servants, who's he surrounded by? Criminals, thieves. Instead of sitting on a throne, he's hanging on a cross.
Now, how many people were hanging on the cross with him? There were three of them, wasn't it? Three? The whole idea of death by crucifixion, it was really reserved for slaves and the worst of criminals. It was the most horrible form of death. We forget that at times. You know, first there was the scourging, the cat of nine tails that has glass and nails in it that he was whipped with. His body would have been in a state of shock. He would have been stripped naked, no loincloth, and left on the cross. Nailed there with 7-inch spikes. You die by asphyxiation. Could take days to die. They'd come along, if you weren't dead by 4 days, they'd break your legs as an act of mercy so you couldn't keep pushing yourself up to take a breath. Two criminals. We don't really know what they did. We just know that if they were on a cross, they were serious criminals. And as people gathered and mocked Jesus, they cursed at him and they spit at him. Do you remember what Jesus said? Father, forgive them. Now, one of the criminals, as Herb was reading, hurled insults at Jesus, saying, "Yo, you should save yourself if you're the Messiah." He was arrogant, prideful. And if it was true, no fear of God, no need for a Savior. But the other said, "Don't you fear God since we're under the same sentence, and we are punished justly for what we've done?" That Jesus hadn't. See if you can complete these phrases. What goes around comes around. Your past will come back to make your bed, and you're gonna. All different ways of saying you get what you deserve. Now, part of me likes that. You know, you've driven down the freeway with all the cars zooming by you faster than, you know, at least 10, 20, 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. And when you see them stopped by the highway patrol up there, what do? Yay! Unless it's you. Did you hear the words that Jesus said to the one criminal? Jesus didn't say, don't like you. You deserve it. You're going to get what you deserve. The thief couldn't do anything to earn his standing with God. He couldn't walk the straight and narrow. He couldn't perform good works. He couldn't turn over a new leaf. And he couldn't join a church, and could he? All he had to do was ask, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's not fair, is it? Where's the justice in this? The guilty deserve death. I don't know your story. Some of you have shared a little bit. But as a adolescent and teenager, I was either pretty rebellious or just had no purpose. I mean, it depended on who you were. Pretty much wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. whatever made me happy, didn't think much of others. Not sure I had much of a purpose at all. And as a result, I remember thinking back and seeing how empty and sad and anxious I was. I was in high school. I still remember it. One night I picked myself up off the floor. And I remembered that I had been taken to church. I had been in church. I remember hearing the stories about how everybody's mistakes can be forgiven. That the payment, the way had been opened by Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. So I remember that first time that I, in more modern language, said, made Jesus my boss. And I believed in my heart that Jesus was rose from the dead. And I remember that initial peace that I received wasn't just the only time, and it was just the starting. Several other times in my life, as a young adult. After Pam and I were married and the birth of our first son, that was another time, and the weight of responsibility, and what was I doing with my life? Where was I going? But each time I had a sense of direction, purpose. And really what I'd like you to think about is that text that Herb read from Ephesians. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. A gift from God. Here's what I recognized. There's this thing called mercy. Not getting the punishment that you and I deserve. But tied with that is also something else. It's grace. Getting the blessing and the good that we don't deserve. So part of the challenge for us is, what does Jesus say about guilt and shame? About getting what we deserve. Because here's the reality. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. I think we think that. I think that was my Sunday school lesson that stuck with me into a young adulthood. But what I later realized is that Jesus came to make dead people alive. That's really the power of what he said. Do we get what we deserve? Sure, we can. But we have the option and the opportunity to not be dead, but to allow him to bring us to life. Very simple. So the question is, as you came in this morning, I believe you're not here by accident. None of us are. Are there any dead places in your life where Jesus wants to bring mercy, where Jesus wants to bring grace? Let's pray. Lord God, as we gather this morning, we're mindful that we're not here by accident.
We're also mindful that we carry around guilt and shame, and that you have come that we might have life, that we wouldn't remain in that state of death. So this morning, as in the next few moments, as we sing, as we prepare for communion, I'd ask that you would speak to each of our hearts this day. Bring your grace, your goodness, your blessings that we don't deserve, and bring your mercy. And forgive us of those things. Because we are not what we've done in the past. We are who you call us to be in the present. And so we ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life. And we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org/next. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.